Life and the Universe with Lydia Bennett.
I have had friends that have told me that I've been indoctrinated by my family, and friends that have told me that I have a wild worldview and that I'm naive and all these things. But it's your friends saying this to you. It's actually really hurtful. And I think there's an element of you just have to cope with that.
For me, sometimes I think one of the things I struggle with the most about sharing my faith with the people that I live with, I want to show like Jesus, like love and patience. But so often it's also hardest because they also see where I really don't love people like Jesus loves me. Yeah. They see like me gossiping, where they see me just being not great. And I'm like, how can I tell them about this amazing Jesus and then be like this?
There is probably an element of we're going to judge how well we're doing based on how many people we can get to come to an event or how many people came to the carol service and things, that it shouldn't be the motivation for doing it.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Life and the Universe. I am Lydia Bennett and today I'm in a room with three more university students. Hudson is studying PPE, Philosophy, Politics and Economics at Reading University. Sasha has just started studying Biomedical Sciences at Newcastle Uni. And Katie is completing her Masters in Education, Globalisation and International Development at Cambridge. Now today we are chatting all about sharing the gospel with our friends at uni. When do we do it? How do we do it? And why do we do it as well? Before we get chatting though, we have an icebreaker question to start us off. So we're chatting today about sharing good things. So I thought I'd get you to share the best piece of advice someone has ever given you about starting university. And actually, I want to hear the worst piece of advice you've been given as well. No need to name names, but I'm just curious. Who wants to go first?
Go for it, Katie.
Cool. I'm happy to kick us off. So I would say the best piece of advice that I've ever been given. So I actually went to Durham for my undergraduate degree. And this was by the vice chancellor who gave us all a talk at the beginning of our degree. And at the time, she said, don't let your degree get in the way of your education. And I think that has stayed with me throughout the entire time that I've spent at university, because I think it draws attention to how university isn't just about studying and it isn't just about the work that you're doing. And although that is important, there's so many life experiences and social things and societies and ways that you can grow that are outside of studying. And I think that really stuck with me. And I think I use that as a bit of an excuse every time I wanted to do something fun. But I would definitely say that is true of my university experience, that studying really is only part of the bigger picture of what I got out of university. And I think kind of on the back of that, I would say the worst advice I've ever heard someone say is that you need to say yes to everything while you're at university. So although I think you do need to make the most of different opportunities, I think you have to also say no, and your no is powerful because you can't do everything. You have to have boundaries. You only have a certain capacity. You really have to be very specific and very intentional with what you do with your time.
Who wants to go next?
I can go.
Go on, Sasha.
Before I came to uni, what I was a bit anxious about was like, am I going to have to go out to make friends kind of thing? And maybe a bad piece of advice or just something I heard around that was like, oh, you'll make your best friends going out and things. And I know that that does work for some people, but that's probably not for everyone. And that wasn't the case. That hasn't been the case for me. So, and also I was just kind of thinking through, you know, what's drinking going to look like at uni and things. And anyway, so a good piece of advice somebody gave me was like, if you know that you want to have a limit and have a boundary, make sure you set it before you're in the social situation. Like, decide with yourself what your plan is, and then once you're there, you know, and like have a reason for your answer, so that if you know, oh, I'm only gonna have two drinks, then you know beforehand, rather than getting into the situation and then being like, oh, it's fine, I'll just have another one kind of thing. To be honest, I don't know if I would have gone against that advice if I hadn't been given it, but it was just a really good practical piece of advice someone gave me about something I was kind of anxious about before I came. So
go on, Hudson.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the best advice I was given was actually, like, remember, like, you don't have to do everything. And that, like, if you're taking it bit by bit, as long as you're doing the things that you know that you need to be keeping on top of, like studies, some people's going to church, making sure that you're building relationships there, don't overdo it, basically. Because actually you have way more enjoyment out of it, doing a few things that you're really glad that you did, than feeling like you tried everything and just kind of, like, failed everything at the same time.
And do you have a singular piece of advice or wisdom that you think, actually, that's not been helpful at all?
Somebody once told me, like, oh, don't worry about your course at all. Like, it's all about making friends. So just go out as much as possible. One of my friends, like, granted, they hadn't gone to university, but they just go, like, oh, that's what I was told by, like, my sibling or something. I remember just being like, okay, I'll see about that. It was a bit different to what I'd been told by everyone else. But yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I feel like I've received a lot of wisdom over my time, but I had quite a few people say things to me before I started. One of the things actually came from Katie. So I remember Katie sharing something with me before I started uni, and it was aim to commit to three things outside of your course. One of those things will be church. If you want one of the other things to be CU, that's possible, but then have something else as well that you enjoy that's kind of not Christian related, but something that you're passionate about. Now, I actually don't think I've really stuck with Katie's advice at all. I've done way more than three things. That's definitely been a problem. I've noticed where things have got out of hand, but I remember being really struck by that bit of advice from Katie. The worst bit of advice, I've had quite a lot of bad advice. One of the bits of wisdom that people shared a lot before I started was, don't study theology. I study theology at the moment and had a lot of people being like, be careful before you study theology. Your faith is going to be rocked. And honestly, I've not found that at all. Maybe that's just the course that I'm on, but I've actually found my course really helpful for my faith and encouraging rather than damaging. I'm going to share another one because there's just so many, but my other one was, people always said to me, you'll always find your friends in second year or third year. Don't worry if you don't make friends in your first year. But I actually got some really great mates in my first year. And I think the whole time I was thinking, well, these guys won't remain my friends anyway, so it doesn't matter. But actually, I'm really grateful for the friends I made in my first year in my corridor. I agree that a lot of my close friends I found kind of later on in university, but I was just annoyed when people told me that I wouldn't stay friends with my first year friends. So I think that's untrue. Anyway, let's move on to the main part of our episode. We're discussing the question, is university the place for evangelism? Now, research into Christianity at university over the last few years has revealed some interesting trends among students in the generations before us. So Barna Research found that roughly 70% of school students who enter university as professing Christians will leave with little to no faith, which is really scary. But at the same time, university has been kind of hailed as this place where people are extremely open to new ideas and even open to faith, maybe for the first time in their lives. So to start off, do you think this is true of students in our generation? What's been your experience of people's openness to faith at university?
I personally have been surprised by people's openness. And before I came to uni, I honestly hadn't properly spoken to that many non-Christians about my faith or shared my faith properly before, like in school. It kind of was something that people knew I was a Christian, but I never really prompted discussions or questions around it. I kind of just let the label follow me around. Whereas at uni, I think, yeah, I've been surprised by how easy it's been to have conversations around faith and how people are generally more curious than I think. And also, before I came, maybe I had assumptions about people's attitudes towards Christianity, and also the fact that I kind of just thought, oh, everyone kind of knows what it's about and everybody knows what Christianity is. But actually, quite a lot of the time, if you're not brought up in a Christian home, you kind of have a perception of church but don't actually know what we believe. And so that's been really amazing to properly talk about my faith and share the gospel with people who are curious and haven't really heard it before.
Hudson, what do you make of university as a place for evangelism?
I found it really interesting. It's been fun being around like so many different kind of like people around kind of like your peers. I think that's what I've found is actually like people have been very kind of receptive to like Christianity when I've kind of found that I've been like, oh yeah, I'm going to church, or people quite often go like, oh, do you have like faith and stuff? And people have been very open to talking about faith, and especially people like my age have found that actually like have a lot of admiration. Like for the fact that I've got the faith, quite a lot of people do know like, oh, okay, we actually do see that a definitely impacts part of who you are. And I think that's something that I've taken away and been like, okay, that's really encouraging. A lot of people don't actually understand what the message of Christianity, don't understand the gospel. And actually it's amazing like how quite often as like being brought up in like Christian homes and stuff, so you can very easily just kind of assume like everybody knows who Jesus was, that he was around, like what he said about himself. Everyone knows like, oh, what he did. Actually, like it's really incredible how many people, like most of them know, contacts or they'll know about Jesus is that he was a little baby at Christmas and that he died on the cross. That is pretty much like the two main things that people know. But then like I also have other conversations with people who I'm consistently like seeing and I'm friends with, and actually people who I have like relationships with, like just throughout kind of the time by my uni and kind of back home as well, I've kind of noticed that actually it's the way that you live differently, in the way that you love people, that's where people start to like really go, actually I really noticed something. And I've had a lot of friends turn around and go, well, you really go around these things differently, whether that's being like quick to forgive, whether that's being able to love, and also being very open about like my shortcomings as well, and showing that actually there's grace in that. And because so often I find that people kind of hear Christian go, oh, perfect, you, and then kind of go, oh, you got this wrong. But actually, in showing my faith, the best way to do it is kind of be as open and honest and be like, look, this is what the grace of God is doing in me. And actually, people really notice it and go, yeah, no, I really see that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think people love to see honesty, don't they? They want to see us being honest about the things that we struggle with as well, and things that we find difficult. Katie, what are your thoughts? What's been your experience of people's openness?
Really agree with what's been said already. I think I always find it so striking at university how open people are. And I think I find it almost like I'm just not expecting it at all. And I think that comes from a place of people come typically from a family unit, from a home context, from being surrounded by people in their home environment where they've been taught how to believe certain things, and they come with all this stuff to university, and then they almost get to this point where they put everything on the line and they question everything. And I think that's a very, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that transition from home life to university life is probably the biggest time of your life that you question what you believe. And therefore, I think very, very particularly in that kind of first few weeks of uni, or in that kind of first interactions of getting to know someone, actually someone is very interested in what you believe. And I think I've had so many really great conversations as a result of just being like, oh, I'm a Christian, and then people are just interested and want to know what that means for you and what that looks like. So yeah, I guess to kind of bring this to like some advice, I think just like an encouragement to be super open with people, because it is just that transition period is just such an important time for people. And I know so many people have become a Christian at university just as a result of being open, like about questioning their friends.
What's interesting though is that we've all expressed some surprise and shock people being open. Why do you think we're surprised? Surely we should be expecting people to be open and curious. Why are we surprised when we're received well?
I think for me, it just comes from this place of expecting that people aren't interested as a result of rejection in the past. So for example, talking, I think with school friends, for example, they knew that I was a Christian for years and years and years, and therefore it was almost a conversation that we had and the conversation finished and there wasn't space to talk about it. Whereas I feel like university is almost this like in like ecosystem of like learning and like criticality and interest and passion and like all these different things. I think it just surprises me that it's almost like a space where people are actually interested. But I think sadly that comes off the back of experiencing rejection from people previously.
Sometimes if I'm around people and I'm like, oh, I should invite them to this thing at CU, or like I should ask a question off the back of saying that I'm a Christian and ask them what they believe, sometimes I'm prompted to ask, but then the reason I don't is if they come across like they've kind of got everything figured out, and like they have, sometimes people who seem confident and like they know what they believe, it makes me think like, oh, they're not going to be interested and they're not going to want to know, or they're going to kind of be like, oh yeah, that's nice, but not be interested in learning more about it. So I guess, yeah, it's the same thing of like thinking people aren't going to be interested. It depends on the person as to why I think they wouldn't be interested, but I think I make judgments and then in my own head tell myself, oh, they're not gonna want to know.
Yeah, no, I can really agree with that. I know for a long time, like, I'd always be really like, I was like shocked that somebody's like open or interactive. I think especially before uni, I used to be like have conversations or avoid them quite a lot of the time. I think the points I get most surprised at is the amount of conversations I have at like the most. It normally from like people I just really, like you said, like people who seem like they've got it all sorted out, but and it's always at the most random times. Interestingly enough, it wasn't a student. I was working. I remember my boss found out I was like, who's like loads older than me. I found out that I was a Christian, and then just we talked about Jesus for like shift after shift after shift. But it was like the last place I remember kind of being like, didn't go out looking for like talking about Jesus. But actually, a lot of it is down to the fact that people constantly, whether it's at uni or not, everyone is like in need of the gospel and the good news of Jesus. And actually what I found is like it's always people find something really different, but like it's the same things again and again. People find different things like really attractive about the gospel. Some people find the honesty really like admirable. Some people think it's really great to be part of something bigger. Some people just find like the compassion or even like the mercy and grace of the gospel like really impressive. But I always walk away from them being like, why did I not expect that? Because like you kind of think, oh, we should, because the gospel's for everyone. But the way I hear people respond to the gospel so often, like always, I'm never quite ready for it.
Yeah, and we don't know what God's doing in people's hearts. Like we don't see that. But I think sometimes, I know for myself, I sometimes doubt that people are curious or doubt that people are questioning, when actually people have big questions about life and often don't feel that they can talk to anyone about it. So sometimes all it takes is me being bold and saying, and maybe bringing up what I believe or bringing up my faith for someone to actually be like, I've been thinking about this for a really long time. Why, you know, let's talk about it. Let's discuss, which I think is really powerful. But it comes back to the fact that God is consistently at work. He is going after people. He's wanting to bring people back or to bring people for the first time, you know, into his kingdom. Now, you all seem like pretty confident people, but are there any hard things about evangelism at university? You sound like you were kind of expressing that evangelism has been pretty straightforward, but it's not always.
I've found that actually, like, the points that I've found it hardest to talk about on faith with has like probably been with the people that I'm probably closest to that aren't Christians. Like that's one of the hardest. I've got my friends back home. We talk about Jesus all the time. None of them are Christians, but that's kind of built up over years. But actually one of the hardest things is doing it with people that you might live with or people that you see day to day, because you're kind of like, oh, if I kind of like make a fool of myself, or like they don't take to it well, that I don't want to be kind of like around that anymore. It's kind of awkward. But like I found that that's not always the case, but that's still like definitely a fear that's there. And the fear of kind of being like judged for what you believe and everything, like it definitely creeps in, especially when it's people that you're like close to. But I would say that's probably one of the things that I've probably found the most difficult aspects of showing your faith at university.
Yeah, go on, Katie, you were gonna say something there.
I so agree with that. I think there's much less element of risk with someone that you don't know so well. So, for example, I've had people that I've met like once or twice on a course, and they've been like, oh, I'm ill or whatever. And I'm like, oh, can I pray for you? Or like, or, oh, well, I think this, like, and I think it's so much easier to do that with those people because you're not risking a friendship. Whereas with the people that you're close to, you know, like when you're at university, your friends are your family. And I think that the people that you're closest to, if you push the boundaries of a conversation and you kind of risk, you almost risk like a conflict situation. And I think that I have walked that boundary so many times, especially because I think at university in particular, everyone just loves debating. Or certainly the friends that I have had while at university just absolutely love having a deep conversation and a debate. And I feel like I have definitely had points where I've upset people because I've shared a certain opinion, or there's just been moments where I'm like, I took that too far, or, oh, I didn't say that in the most loving way. And I think that can be really hard when it's your friends because you really care about them. And I think it's balancing and reconciling this desire for your closest friends to know Jesus, because we know that is the best thing for them, but also wanting them to continue to be your friends. And I think trying to reconcile that is often so challenging. And I think even as well, like, you value their opinion because they're your friends. And I've had friends that have told me that I've been indoctrinated by my family, and friends that have told me that I have a wild worldview and that I'm naive and all these things. But it's your friends saying this to you. It's really hurtful. And I think there's an element of you just have to cope with that.
Sasha, do you have any thoughts on that?
I think I agree with what you guys have said. That's definitely, like, you kind of said, oh, we seem like we found it very straightforward. I've found it really, really good and really exciting to share my faith and living for Jesus with people who are at uni. But also there's definitely been lots of times where I haven't, because I've been too kind of afraid that they're not going to want to hear it. And that is something that's hard, is in general, but yeah, with people who I live with or close friends, where it's like, oh, I'm not sure when is a good time to follow this conversation up or bring up my faith again, because I don't want it to be like, I don't want to kind of overdo it. And if I'm going to be seeing this person consistently for a long time, then I don't need to rush it. But then it's easy to be like, oh, it's fine, I just won't share about my faith, kind of thing. I do struggle with being afraid to say something in case that it's going to affect the friendship or cause a conflict.
I really agree with that. And I think, for me, sometimes I think one of the things I struggle with most about sharing my faith with the people that I live with, like, I want to show, like, Jesus, like, love and, like, patience and all of this. But so often it's also hardest because they also see where I really don't love people like Jesus loves me.
Yeah, they see your worst.
They see like me gossiping, where they see me like just being like not great. And I'm like, how can I tell them about this amazing Jesus and then be like this? And they really see it. Whereas with other people, they kind of go, oh, I guess maybe you are doing all those things. But that's one of the hard things. But I think that's something that I've learned. Actually, that doesn't matter. Actually, the thing that shows the gospel off more there is actually the grace and being able to turn that around. And for me, it's been like, okay, if I've been like gossiping about something, I'm going, okay, you know what? Next time I'm tempted to, or next time that we are, like, how do I honor them instead of doing that? And actually, how do I be a best friend? And that whole, like, that's why we're kind of called to repent and turn around. That's how we kind of like move forwards and grow. But actually, showing that turnaround is kind of some of the areas that I've realized that. That's where people will start to notice and go, oh, you weren't doing this before, but you are now doing this, and doing this like in a really noticeable way. But I think also doing it not so that other people recognize it, just doing it because, you know, it's the right thing. But but I've definitely found kind of, you feel very like hypocritical sometimes sharing, especially when it's with your closest friends.
Yeah. And also I think it's really scary to think that people are watching us. People see us. People see our actions. And when they live with you, that you can't escape the fact that your friends see you and they see your worst sides. I know that's certainly the case for me. Like, you just can't escape it. Mm. But I was, when you guys were speaking, I was just thinking of those verses that Jesus says in Mark, where he's like a prophet is not without honor, except in his own town, among like his relatives and his like, mm-hmm. and his home. So it's really hard to share your faith with people who know you super well. It's, and Jesus felt the same, you know, he experienced the same thing. Yeah, go on, Katie.
Yeah, I so agree with that. And just want to kind of jump off the back of what Hudson said, in that I feel like being a Christian at university, it doesn't mean kind of denying the fact that we're actually a sinner or that we're actually broken. But I feel like there's actually such a beautiful opportunity with our friends to, instead of trying to kind of, I think we should always be aiming to be like Jesus, but in those moments where we've messed up, as we all do, it's actually how we deal with it. And I think I've had friends which I know that I've done something wrong, but instead of just ignoring it, I have like acknowledged that, and I've gone to them and I've been really vulnerable and said to them, I am so sorry that this happened. Please forgive me. I really care about you as a friend, and I know this hurt you. And I remember one girl that I'd had that situation with saying that she could actually, she wasn't a Christian, and she said to me that she could see how strong my faith was and could see me acting like Jesus through the way that I was willing to repent and through the way that I was willing to be reflexive and acknowledge wrongdoing, which was different to other people who didn't have a faith. So I guess just an encouragement just off the back of this conversation is that I don't think it means that we can't share Jesus with our friends because we mess up sometimes, because we all do. But it's actually about how we bring Jesus into that, how we act with forgiveness, how we deal with conflict in those situations, which I think God is able to use messy situations.
So good. Just going in a slightly different direction, do you think that university kind of Christian culture puts pressure on students to evangelize?
I think it does. I feel like I love the whole, I do, I love things like Christian unions. I love like the way that university does have all these kind of structures and like ways of doing evangelism. But I do think there's an element where evangelism in particular can become really performative and can become this pressure of something which it almost becomes like a competition. And again, like, you're an elite Christian if you're sharing the gospel with people. You're an elite Christian if you manage to get some, to be able to like read the Bible with your friend, or like you're an elite Christian if you manage to get like 5 testimonies in a week of like sharing the gospel with someone. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that is the case at all. Like, I don't think that is how, like, and I don't think that is like necessarily the fault of anyone in particular. I just think it's like a culture that arises from being with a group of Christians at university. And I feel like it's a culture which we need to call out, because actually God uses everybody in different ways, and God does things which we wouldn't expect. And so I feel like it's not reflective of how the kingdom of God operates. And, you know, obedience looks different for different people. And I feel like actually, like, there's a real need to like call out the competition. And like, you should never ever share the gospel with someone out of one obligation. You should never share it because you want to look good to your friends. You should never share it. Like, you should never share the gospel because you want to have a cool evangelism testimony. Like, it should be because we want people to know Jesus. Yeah. And because people, because we care for people, because we want people to experience freedom. And I think like you have to, like I have had to do this so many times, like evaluate your heart, like where is my heart in this? Because I think God would rather your heart in the right place and you not share the gospel than for you to be doing it for the wrong reasons.
Sasha, what do you think? Obviously you've been at uni for a term, but have you noticed that pressure? Do you feel that pressure?
So yeah, I definitely see what you're talking about. And I think, like, for example, at the Christian Union, a really big part of it is making Jesus known on campus and kind of equipping us to share our faith. And so in that, I definitely can see the performative pressure, or like pressure to, yeah, just share your faith and things. But then at the same time, I think it has been, for me, really, really encouraging and really exciting that there is such an enthusiasm around it. And like, I know that in my Christian friends, when someone tells a friend about Jesus and their friend is interested and curious, it's something that we can pray about with each other and get really excited about, because we, and it's not necessarily because we want to look good, even though maybe that does come into it, but I think it is really encouraging when we can be doing it with a heart for them coming to know Jesus because we love them, and also encourage each other and, yeah, be doing it together as a group and having the same mission. But I do know what you mean, and I think that there is probably an element of like, we're going to judge how well we're doing based on how many people we can get to come to an event, or how many people came to the carol service and things like it, that it shouldn't be the motivation for doing it.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I can really relate to what you've said, Katie, to be honest. I think I've really found that during my time of almost feeling really pressured to bring people along, and if no one shows up, then you're not as good of a Christian, because you've not done your job correctly. You haven't succeeded in getting people interested enough in faith to come along to things. I remember someone saying within the Christian Union at my university, look, I've invited some of my close friends along to about 10 different things just this term, and every time they've said no, and that's really painful. But I don't think we often talk about that, the fact that we could be having these conversations all the time and asking people and taking initiative and asking God for opportunities to speak about our faith. But what happens if our friends have got hard hearts and they don't want to come to anything? That doesn't mean that we're not failed Christians because of that. It just means that we've been put in a really specific position where people just aren't receptive at the moment. And I think we often don't talk about that either.
I've definitely experienced it with friends where you have conversations that you kind of find yourself stuck at like one or two points where you're like, it's really hard. Because of course, especially with your closest friends and your friends, you really want them to come meet Jesus. And I remember for like a little while, I remember being like, oh, I'm just doing something really wrong. Like, I'm not saying things right. Being like, okay, I need to like explain it in this way. I need to use this example, or these things. And there's no magic words we say that causes people to meet him. They don't meet me and then they're like, oh yeah, Jesus. It's just like, they meet Jesus, and actually he will move at the time when he needs to. And at the end of the day, it's up to them whether they want to answer that, and Jesus will keep trying, I think. But like, trusting that it's not in what I do, and actually that, oh, it's not because I'm not doing enough.
Do you think that we can do evangelism wrong? And I guess off the back of that, is there a correct way to do evangelism?
Yeah, I definitely think that I wouldn't say there's a categorically wrong or right way of doing evangelism, but I would say there's better and worse ways of doing evangelism. But I think what I would say is that it's very much context dependent, and very much depends on the person, depends on who you are, and it depends on, you know, like what God's saying. And I think it's so, like, I feel like evangelism that is forced, evangelism which is done out of obligation, evangelism which is trying to hand out 10 things to people because you will feel like a better Christian. Like, it's, you know, like the heart behind that is not one of desire for people to know Jesus and like desire for like God's love to be like shared with people. And so I think it's less about the technique of evangelism that you're doing, but the heart that you're carrying behind it, and whether you're doing it in obedience to God or not. So for example, like, I feel like there's some forms of evangelism which in some circumstances wouldn't be right, but I know that there's been situations where someone has really felt like God has been on it and encouraged them to do that certain thing, and it's brought incredible fruit. So I feel like it's more of a case of what does obedience look like for me? Where is my heart in doing this? And thinking critically about what the consequences of certain things are. And I think that so depends on your university. It depends on where you are. It depends on the context that you're doing it and the people that you're doing it to. And I just think you just have to be aware of all these things and think through all of these things and just make sure that you're partnering with Jesus in your evangelism, not running away from him, that you're not making it a performance, but that you're doing it with him on your side and that you're like doing it prayerfully. Like I have done evangelism that I thought would be really fruitful, but realized that I didn't ask God first whether he wanted me to do it, and then have ended up in bad situations. And I think it's so much more about like, is God on this or is he not? And asking him. So for example, at Cambridge, we do something called Evensong, which is where in the college chapel, there'll be like choral scholars and they'll do some songs and you can like go in the evening. And I went with a girl that wasn't a Christian just because I wanted to go. And during it and then on the way back from it, we had a really, really deep conversation about faith, and I just felt so able to just like share what I believed with her and just like not debate with her, but just be able to like hear her story, hear where she was coming from, and just be able to, and even like hurt that she had experienced from the church previously, and just felt like God was on that for me to almost like speak truth into her situation and almost like, yeah, just show her that I believe in a Jesus that doesn't think that that was okay. And I do think that is a case for genuine Luke 10 out on the streets evangelism, like going after it. Like I'm all for that. But also I think there's a strong element of like just being yourself and like living your life, going to things, but like bringing Jesus like into those conversations as and when you're doing stuff. And I think, to be honest, I think that the most fruitful conversations that I've had with people are the ones that have happened naturally and are the ones that have happened off the back of someone saying to me, oh, like, you're really different. Like, why are you different? Yeah, just off the back of, like, my character or, like, the way that I've, like, behaved in different situations. So I'd say that is, like, a case where, like, evangelism has gone really well. This isn't within a university context, but, like, you could definitely apply. Yes, I did YWAM Youth with the Mission last year, which is a 6-month discipleship training school in evangelism. And there was this one time that I was out with a group of friends, and we thought that it would be great if we went to this concert and tried to do evangelism in this concert. And we basically just ended up in like a really dodgy situation, like completely accidentally. Like, yeah, it just wasn't just where we were was not a great vibe, just felt really unsafe, really vulnerable. And we were just like, why did we do that? Like, I think we just all egged each other on. We all just thought, oh, like, we're fine, we're YWAMers, like, God will keep us safe. Like, and we just came out of it like, why were we so stupid? And like, I feel like off the back of that, I was like, oh wait, like, yes, theoretically that could have been a great opportunity for evangelism. And in it, we did actually lead someone to Jesus, and she, like, we prayed through and she, like, repented, etc., etc. So, like, God did use that situation, but I felt really unsafe in it. And I feel like it made me realize that, like, before we do any evangelism, we need to ask if God is on it or not, like, and we need to pray and we need to be like, God, like, is this, do you want me to do this or do you not want me to do this? Because I think there's great evangelism and then there's wise ways of doing evangelism, and like that was not a wise way of doing evangelism. Like, it could have been, but we should have done it completely differently.
Life and the universe.
So moving on to the final part of the episode where each week we talk about a campus conundrum. I'm going to get you guys to talk about a dilemma someone might come across at university and how you would respond. So this is our conundrum for this week. You're part of a sports society that really enjoy their sports socials, which often include drinking a lot of alcohol and forcing other people to drink a lot as well. You know one of your teammates is teetotal, but both of you are being forced to drink heavily by your other teammates. You can see they're uncomfortable. How would you respond?
I think it's a really difficult but very common situation. With any of these situations where you're trying to work out how can I best care for somebody else, how will I want somebody to come and help me out there? So they might be okay, but they might also just be like, actually, don't feel comfortable. Actually, if you recognise that and you really want to kind of help, I've always kind of found like in that those kinds of situations, sometimes just taking a moment, if you get a moment like one to one, just be like, oh, just checking like how are you doing, like genuinely, like you can even express like, oh, I feel a bit uncomfortable with this, like how are you feeling? And at first sometimes people, but just ask people like once or twice, more than once sometimes, because sometimes people be like, yeah, I'm fine for the first little bit. Actually, the moment somebody realizes, oh no, someone's actually asking, like it brings so much relief to people to be able to say sometimes if they are feeling uncomfortable in situations like that, especially around drink and stuff like that, that especially when there's a lot of pressure, because so often that makes you feel like you're on your own. But the moment you feel like somebody else is actually there with you, even if it's just the both of you, that's something where you can kind of go, if I want to help this person to, if somebody goes, oh yeah, I'm not feeling comfortable with drinking, sometimes just suggesting ideas, just be like, look, if you don't want to, I'll not do it with you. And if people get weird about it, then they'll get weird at both of us together. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much power in knowing that you're not alone in that situation. I think if you've noticed that, I think the best thing you can do is make sure that somebody understands that they're not alone in that situation where it feels like you have to because everyone else is.
That's good. Sasha, what would you do in this situation?
Yeah, I think definitely team up with the other person who's not drinking and find out how they're doing, and then kind of have solidarity. And it's really important to remember that you can say no. People maybe in this situation are going to respond badly. So I can understand that that's a fear, that it's like, oh, I don't want them to, you know, treat me differently if I'm not drinking and be excluded from the culture of the group. So yeah, I can imagine that this is really hard. But even in this, there might even be other people who you don't notice are uncomfortable, and you saying no, it might be a really good example and a really like really impactful thing that's going to make other people realize, oh wait, this isn't something that I have to do, and or like make them think, you know, reconsider why am I doing this and introduce an alternative to the situation. Team up with the other person, and you don't have to drink, but you can bow out of the group activity. And then most likely, I'm guessing that it would be fine. Like things like this seem like a really big deal at the time, and you think, oh, I'm not going to be as much part of the team or whatever. When things seem really big at the time, quite often, then it kind of evens itself out, and it's like, oh yeah, okay, that's fine. I didn't need to be so worried about this. And you'll still be able to join in other things or even go along to the social events, but just be setting a different example.
Yeah, Katie, what would you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think what Hudson and Sasha said is really good. I think just the kind of dynamic that I would like to draw attention to within that situation would be, I feel like you need to allow your friend and like the other person their own agency in making their decision. And I feel like there's an element of, if you choose not to drink and they choose to drink, or like they choose to take it like too far, like there's an element to which they could well feel like shame as a result of that, or could well feel like judgment from you. Like if you go up to them and you're like, I don't think you should be doing this, or like, oh, like, should we stop now? Like, I feel like you, like there is a time for calling things out, but like that in that situation, I think it needs to be like dealt with pastorally. So I think what I would like personally do in that situation is, one, like choose my own actions, and like if the other person chooses to like follow that or not, like that's their decision. So for example, I might be like, okay, like I've had enough now, like I don't want any more, and then you create the space for them to join you in that. But equally, they might not want to. And like, I think you have to like almost like allow that, because that might be their decision. Or you can really lovingly be like, oh, like I'm really not enjoying this. Like I'm feeling a bit pressured. Like, should we just get out of it? Like, yes, it is important to be in societies, be like, you know, in the world but not of the world, and be in these situations. But you know, like sometimes, like you do just have to leave. Like some, you know, it's like a Joseph situation of like you just have to run from it. And I feel like almost creating like running as like a safe space, and being like, oh, I've had enough. Should we just like go back? And you know, I would be like, should we just go and get a like cup of tea in my room? You're almost just creating like a just easy opportunity for the other person to like get out without feeling like judged or like hurt. So I think that's how I would deal with it. But I think again, it's context dependent, depends on the friend, depends on where they're at with God, depends what like their history is. For example, you know, like they might have like an alcohol problem, and like that in itself, like you would need to deal with would love. So yeah, I think that's what I would do.
Yeah, the one thing I was thinking of is with these kind of things, a night feels significant, but regret in the morning is also a real thing. And also, in my eyes, maybe this is a bit direct, but someone's values and someone's kind of moral choices, I think, are more important than pressure. So I think just for one evening to be like, I'm really sorry, guys, but this is just not me. I do not want to be here. I think you might feel a bit embarrassed for an evening, or your teammates might tease you for a bit, but I just think sticking to your values is way more important. Even if it was just me and the other person was like, I'm sorry, but I want to stay, I kind of don't really care. I'd get out of there as soon as possible if I felt uncomfortable. Mm. I'd rather be humiliated than compromise my values, I'd say.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
I would just reiterate that, like, university is a time for navigating living as a Christian at university. And so if you're listening to this, and you've been in this situation before, like, please know that there's grace for that, because these things do happen. So yeah, I just want to say that there is grace, and don't feel judgment if you this situation, because yeah, to be honest, like, I have, so you're fine.
Thanks so much for listening to Life and the Universe. Join me next time when I'll be sitting down with more students from around the UK to tackle another big question about following Jesus at university.
You've been listening to Life in the Universe with Lydia Bennett.